me say first of all why you find your place in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 11. Appreciate the church taking us on and supporting us in the work of the Lord. We hadn't slowed up any, just got busier. So anyway, we preaching in prisons and preaching in garages. Amen. Preach in the garage some too. So three times a week I preach in the garage and the rest of the time I preach in prison. So we're just preaching here and there. But the prison work is going good. So I'm in three different prisons right now in the state of Kentucky. All of them are. I go there regularly. And then preaching in the garage, I'm just joking with you, but it is in the garage. There was probably about, let's say, I guess 10 years ago, there was a man, Brother Troy McGahan. They started a mission work outside of Somerset, Kentucky, a place called Nancy. So I preached there two or three times, something like that. And so he resigned there, the mission, and took a church in Appomattox, Virginia. The same place that unfortunately Lee had to surrender to Grant. But anyhow, so he's pastoring a church there. So they called me, want me to come fill in one Sunday. Then they called back two or three weeks later, would you come back another Sunday? And then, if you don't have anything going on Sunday mornings, would you come here? And then, would you come on Wednesday? And then later on, then we want to, would you take it as pastor? No, I'm not interested in that. Still not really interested in it, but anyway, we eventually did take it as interim pastor and then took it for pastor. We organized into the church and everything. So anyway, so I'm preaching. We got the property paid off now. So we got, I think, about 2 acres of ground there. There's a mobile home there. We stay in it on Sunday afternoon and all. And then we're meeting a garage, 27 by 27. So they converted it, put central heat and air in it and this and that and all. Got about 10 people coming and so on. So anyway, week after next, plan on trying to have a tent meeting. Set a tent up on a grassy spot out there in the yard and going to try to visit around, invite people to come, preach the word of God to them at night. So anyway, that's what we're doing. And so that's the reason I say preaching in prisons, preaching in the garage, amen. So anyway, but trying to serve the Lord. So, and this church has been helping that because you send $100 every month regularly, and I appreciate it, and we need it. So thank you for your prayers and your support and this and that. So, Brother Heath, you started that under his ministry, and now under Brother James's ministry, you've continued that, and we appreciate it and your prayers and your support. So it gives you a little update about what we're doing. Now, I guess everybody's going to be ready to eat at 12 noon, right? So my wife said, you make sure you quit now. I said, well, I'll be preaching to you. She said, go down the door, amen, out the doorway. So, but my preaching I'm going to do today is going to be like a baloney, okay? I'm just going to cut it off anywhere, amen? Get a big old thing of baloney, you can just cut it off anywhere. So I'm going to cut it off somewhere or another this morning. And then next time it's my time, we'll pick it up again, eat a little more on, amen? And hopefully it'll be like baloney, it'll come up again, amen? And everything. So, all right, but if you got your Bible with you this morning, the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1. Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because he was translated. God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then as you go on through here, then you're going to read and see what faith is like. What faith is like. You go on through here, do you see these different ones? By faith Noah, by faith Abraham and Sarah, and Moses, and so on through there, Joseph and Isaac, and so on, and Moses, and on through there. You'll see what faith does. Now, I want to look this morning at the subject of faith. Faith. And here, he tells us some things about faith. And it's not so much that he's telling us a definition of the word faith, but as much as it is telling us what faith does, how faith acts, and things like that. So, he said, first of all, now faith is the substance. Substance. Now, if you look up the word substance, let me read a few things. I got them wrote down here, so I'm going to read them. This word substance here comes from two Latin words, sub and stand, okay, meaning to stand under. Faith provides a firm standing ground while I await the fulfillment of God's promises. See? So it's much like this. The pew that you're sitting on, then you believe it's going to hold you up. You've got something undergirding you. And of course, the pew then is sitting, it's sitting upon this here floor right here. I'm standing on this here platform, see? So I believe that the platform's going to hold me up. So we've got something undergirding us, see? Something foundational. So then, faith then is the substance. Something foundational, see? Got some more wrote here. Faith substantiates or gives a substance to our hopes and demonstrates things that not seen. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. Faith is a firm persuasion of that which is hoped for. Faith is the ground of expectation. See? And then he went on to say there, now faith is the substance, substand, something undergirding you, something foundational. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word evidence, according to the Strong's Concordance, means proof, to convince. And what we have then is something that we're standing upon, as something foundational, something other that we build upon, stand upon, is the same thing that we have for evidence. Evidence. Now, whenever you bring somebody into court and you bring charges against them, that means you've got evidence. You've got proof, see? And so the proof that the child of God has, or the substance that we have, is no more and no less than this book right here. This book is what we stand on. Faith in something. Now people talk about, well, I'm a trust in my faith. And I'm thinking, well, that isn't that the same thing?
Amen.
See? Had a woman heard her say one time, she said, well, I'm trusting my faith. That's like saying I'm trusting my trust.
Yeah.
I'm faith in my faith. Yeah. In other words, you know, people say, I got faith. Well, good. In what?
Amen.
What do you got undergirding you? What are you basing your faith on? What kind of foundation you got? Belief in what? What are you believing? See? And the Word of God, the Bible, then, is the basis. It's the foundation. That's where we begin. That's where we launch from. That's where we rest upon. What we believe, what we practice in this and that, should be based upon the Word of God. So therefore, then, faith is the substance of things hoped for. If we had it, then we wouldn't need the faith, see? But we got grounds of why we believe we're going to get it. We're expecting it, and it is the Word of God. And we got evidence. We got proof, see? And the proof is right here in black and white. Some of it's red and white, amen, according to what kind of Bible you got. But anyhow, the proof is right here in black and white in good old King James Bible, amen. That's the Bible that I use. That's the one I depend upon, amen. So I believe it. But anyhow, and I want to look this morning at a few things about faith then. Faith. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray and ask of you to touch me, infiltrate, saturate me with the Holy Ghost, work in each heart. Lord, I pray that you fill each believer and help us, Lord, to might be able to receive from you some things from the Word of God. Please work in each heart. If there's somebody here that's unsaved, I pray, Lord, you'd work deep within and move upon them. Whether they realize it or not, those that are unsaved, I pray you'd reveal that to them and save them and help us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, faith. Now, have you ever got to wondering, faith, where does faith come from? Now, if we're believing the Word of God, in what way are we believing it? Brother James, I heard, found out, asked him what he did this morning. He said, well, I teach. I'm a teacher. What do you teach? I teach history. Okay. Well, you can view the Bible historically. See? So you believe that there's a Jesus. Okay. You believe there's a man named Abraham. You believe there's a nation Israel way back years ago. You believe that the nation Egypt is an old nation and things like that. So you can look at the Bible then. And you can say, well, I believe the Bible. Well, what do you mean by that? Do you have faith in the God of the Bible? In other words, I'm saying this, and I believe there's a difference in just a head knowledge, see, and really having a faith in God based upon this Bible right here, see. And, and I say it this way sometimes. If what you got hadn't moved 18 inches, you ain't got anything. From here down to there is basically 18 inches. And if you put that up here like that, unless what you've got is moved from here down to here, yet you don't have anything, see? And so where does it moving from here, getting down to here, where does that come from? Is a person born with faith? Well, yes and no. Say, well, now, how can it be both? Well, it's this way. Is a person born with saving faith? And the answer is no. But when a person is born again, he has saving faith. And right in there is where I want to park it and look at a few things. Now, he says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Then where does that faith come from? The evidence of things not seen. So therefore then, where does this faith that we have in this book, which is what we stand upon, we get our proof of what we do in this and that from this book right here, then why do we believe it? Why have people gone to their death believing in this word right here? Why is it? Well, how you explain that, see? Is just because they wanted to stand out and wanted to go through all that agony? No, sir. They had a real, genuine faith, a faith to the saving of the soul, and where does that faith come from? Now, y'all know this verse of Scripture, but let's turn to it anyway. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Ephesians chapter number 2. Of course, the apostle here, God leading him what to say and write, writing to the church at Ephesus. In this second chapter here, as we know is the second chapter, and I'm glad for the chapter and verse divisions because it does help us in our memorization, and as we're doing right now, pinpointing a particular part of the Bible. But in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And then you see a semicolon, dot on top of a comma. Okay? So pause there a second. The word read like this, "And for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, colon, dot on top of a dot. It is the gift of God." Now, a person is saved by God. God is a God of grace. To say that God saves by grace is to say that God does something for a sinner that he does not deserve having it done for him. Amen. To say that God saves by grace is to say that God does something for the sinner that the sinner cannot do for themselves. See? So to say that we're saved by grace is to say that God is doing something for me. Okay? So what is he doing for me? All right, he's giving me life. Life. "I once was alienated from the life of God, cut off from the life of God, dead in trespasses and sins." So God brings about life. And when God brings about life, then he's going to bring about these two elements in conversion known as repentance and faith. Amen. All right. So he said here then, with that in mind, go back to verse 8 and think again. "For by grace," the grace of God. So that's what we're thinking now. God's grace, the grace of God. "Are ye saved through faith?" As Brother McDowell said last night, faith is not the Savior. Faith didn't die on the cross. Faith wasn't put in the grave. Faith wasn't resurrected. Faith didn't ascend. Faith is not going to return again. Okay? So faith is not the Savior. Faith is the avenue. It's like this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So the way to the Father is how? By the Son. Now, what is the way to the Son? Faith. Now, have you always had that faith? No, sir. When did you get that faith? Well, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It, faith, is the gift of God. So whenever God brings about new life, whenever he brings about regeneration, if God, when you get him in the equation, when you get God in the equation, something other spiritual is going to happen. Amen. When you get God in the equation, something other is going to perk up. Amen. You're going to have something different. You're going to have just as much difference as daylight to dark, from in the graveyard to out of the grave. I mean, whenever God, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Lazarus, come forth," and the dead started to live, and you get God in the equation, you're going to have a great big difference. Amen. And God, my friend, brings about life. And just that quick, when he brings about life, then you're going to start believing. Amen. Hey, it's like this. He made a believer out of me. Did he make a believer out of you? Amen. So therefore then, for by grace, it's the grace of God. God doing something for me that I cannot do for myself. God doing something for me that I do not deserve. And he gave me faith. It's the gift of God. So I can't brag on mighty faith because I don't have mighty faith. I brag on the Lord and the grace of God. Amen. So faith is a gift of God. You probably know these verses, but I'm going to take you through there and look at a few things. Like I say, when y'all get ready to go eat, well, go ahead and we'll cut the bologna off. Amen. We'll get it again. Hopefully it'll come back up and be good again. Amen. But anyway, in the book of same book here, chapter number 3, verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 12. in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Now notice, by the faith of him. The faith of him. It's his faith. You say, well, so he's one that does the believing? Oh, no. I'm the one that does the believing. But the reason I do the believing is because he granted me the faith. See that? So, therefore, then, in that mindset, you can see how it could be the faith of him. Hey, remember this? He's the author and the finisher of our... Amen. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God, salvation's of the Lord. Jonah, he summed it up real good. I've often thought, especially back years ago, I thought one of these days when I get to where I can't preach no more, and if I'm still living and all, I'm going to write a big old thick book, and I'm going to start as far back as I can think the Bible can let me go, and I'm going to title the whole thing, Salvation is of the Lord. And just preach it, just write the whole thing and just take my time and look at everything in and out, up and down, forwards and backwards and everywhere else, amen. But salvation is of the Lord. Ain't no doubt about it. Let me show you another verse of scripture over in the book of Galatians. You probably got this memorized. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. It just says the same thing as the previous one did, but I'm just showing you that there's things in it. People say, well, those are just proof texts. Okay, all right, duh. I mean, you know, they're saying something, aren't they? Amen. They're saying something and all. But Ephesians, or I should say Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. The apostle says right to these churches in this land of Galatia there, he said about this, and of course God leading him what to say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The faith of the Son of God. All right, so faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you got faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Word of God. Why do you believe the Bible? Do you really believe? Are you resting? Is your confidence? Is your assurance? Are you assured in your heart by the Holy Ghost that this Bible is true? You're resting upon it. You're taking it to the bank. You're living by it. Amen. So why is that? Where did that come about being? Has it always been that way? Oh, no. No. There was some time that it wasn't. Now it is, if you've truly been born again, because it is the faith of the Son of God. God gave us the faith. See? Let me show you something else here. Just give me a second here. Yeah, let's go to this one. In the book of Colossians, chapter number 2 and verse number 12. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 12. Colossians 2:12, bear with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Notice how it words it there. Through the faith of the operation of God. You know, whenever God saves somebody, he operates on them. You know that? God actually operates on them. And he talked about in this same passage right here, talking about a circumcision, and we all know what that means, circumcision, and a circumcision made without hands. Well, how can you have a circumcision and there's no hands involved? Well, now he's not talking about a physical circumcision. And here he's talking about an operation. He's not talking about a trained surgeon. See, he's not talking about knives and things like that, and stitching up and things like that. He's talking about God. And whenever God does a work in a sinner's heart, he's actually operating on that sinner. See? So this faith is by the operation of God. See where faith comes from? It comes from God. God is real serious about saving a sinner. Matter of fact, on Sunday nights I'm preaching, I think I've listed something like 46 different words in the New Testament alone that has something to say about when it was that God saved us. Right now I'm in the seeds. And the last one I looked at, I think, was the word complete. You are complete. So when God saved me, I became complete. You go through your New Testament, you see a lot of different words in there that deal with, I started with A, adoption, B, now we're in the letter C, looking at these different things. And the only reason I brought that up is to say this, that God is most serious about this thing of salvation. So serious so that here we are dead in trespasses and sins. Here I am dead in trespasses and sins. A lost sinner's dead in trespasses and sins. So therefore, he can't save himself. And as a matter of fact, he don't want to be saved until God awakens him. Amen. God got to do something. God's going to use the preaching of the Word of God, gospel tract, sign, something. God is sovereign, okay? Then when God wants to do it the way he wants to do it and what means he wants to do it, then let God be God. Amen. But he is. Amen. So you just might well let him be, because ain't nothing you're going to be able to do about it anyway. But whenever God, my friend, gets ready to work in a sinner's heart, here's this sinner dead trespasses and sins, gets light to him and so forth, and helps him to understand. And somewhere through all of that, it might be an hour, it might be a week, it might be a year, it might be a decade. I don't know. I've talked to people, my friend, that made professions of faith, and really, then they said, here's what I was really born again. I know one preacher, he said, I was under conviction for 2 years. He said, I mowed down about 2 acres of pasture every Sunday afternoon. What he meant by that was he'd get out of church being under conviction. He didn't know what to do. And he'd just go out in the field and just walk around. Didn't know what to do with it, see? So, you know, let God be God. God's going to save and do what he wants to do, when and how he wants to go about doing it. But whenever God starts working in a sinner's heart, my friend, it's very evident from the scripture that sinner did trespass and sin. And for him to have a real, genuine faith takes an operation of God. God gets to working in the mind, in the intellect. God gets to working in the emotions and so forth. And we get the feeling that we're sinners and sensing that we're sinners and not only believing it and seeing it, but feeling it and being distressed about it. And God somewhere and through all that's going to get to working in the will. For it's God that worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. And it's God, it's actually the Holy Ghost. It's a work of God. That God is a working in the heart of the sinner, enlightening that sinner, bringing that sinner to himself, and somewhere in through all of that conviction and drawing, God, my friend, is going to bring about that new birth. And when he does, then we're going to start really being believers. And we're going to cast ourselves upon him and upon this word right here and obedience to him and walking with him. Why? Because salvation's of the Lord. So faith, see there, faith. Let me show you another place here. In the Word of God, in the book of Galatians, back to there again, 5th chapter, I think it is. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Now notice, you say, well, this is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what I'm saying. Amen. Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying. And notice here, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. See that? Faith. You say, well, what are you saying? I don't see the connection. Well, it's simply this. I'm saying that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have you always had that? Well, according to what you're saying, I haven't. Well, that's what I'm saying, what the Bible said. And I'm saying that it is of God. And I'm saying here, as this verse right here is saying, that faith is a product of the Spirit. Amen. Now, you're not going to separate the Godhead. You've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And these three make up the Trinity. And the Trinity speaks about the tri-unity of God, Trinity. So therefore then, you've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and these three are one, they're equal. You got a union. One God, monotheism, one God, but three persons in union. One union. It's like this. And you two, these two right here, you got a person down here. She looks a lot better than me. Cooks a whole lot better than me. Of course, you can't tell it, amen. I run mine off. I don't mean I actually run, but I got a lot going on. But you got two right here, okay? And these two, God says, shall be what? Is that so difficult? Amen? Union. And so, therefore then, when you're talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you can look at them differently because you can. Amen? But they're still one God. Amen. So it's the fruit of the Spirit, and part of the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, God, the Holy Ghost, is faith. So I'm saying, where does faith come from? Come from the Lord. Amen. Come from God, the Holy Ghost. And the fruit of the Spirit is a product of the Holy Ghost. What one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is to give us faith. With regeneration comes faith. See? Amen. And then in the book of John, 1 John, chapter number 5, 1 John. Now, it's according to what kind of glasses a person is wearing, how he reads his verses of Scripture. Okay.
If he's wearing Armenian glasses,
this is how he reads his verse of Scripture. Whosoever! See, it's a capital W and a big, you know, everything else in mind, everything else is capitalized. So, you know, that's the premise that they come from. Anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. And I don't have a lot of problem with some of that. Amen. You know, and this and that. But anyway, let that be as it may. So reading it from Armenian glasses, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. In other words, they're reading it saying that whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ gets born from God. You get the new birth by believing. If you're reading it through Armenian glasses, you get the new birth by believing. If you're reading it through Armenian glasses, one of the inmates over at the prison, at the federal prison in Manchester, Kentucky, he asked me, we're standing around talking after the service there. He said, "So you a five pointer?" And he never said that to me before, and I didn't know, you know, and I didn't know hardly what to say, so I just said yes. You know, I'm going to lie about it, you know. So, but sometimes I say, you know, but I didn't. There, sometimes I say, well, I had one fellow say one time, he said something about being Calvinist. I said, now wait a minute. Now I said, I'm not sprinkling babies and persecuting Anabaptists. Okay. So what do you mean by that? You know, sometimes I say, because if you go to Alan Hood, he done told us what he was. He believes this. And he believes that. Whoa, wait a minute. So far, I start siding up with your definition. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Y'all been there. Y'all done that too. But anyway, so if you read it now, and I'm going to throw out the word. So I threw out the other word, okay, Arminianism. So if you read it through Calvinistic glasses, if you don't like that word, if you read it through the glasses of a person that holds to the doctrines of grace, okay, if you like that a little bit better and so forth, you know. But anyway, you read it this way. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, or in other words, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ does so because they're born of God. Amen. They do so because they're born of God, see. And I had a preacher, I thought he went along with these things. I thought he was cited this way. And so forth. We was talking on the telephone, and I was talking freely with him, you know. And it's back several years ago when I was first trying to raise some support for the prison ministry and all. And I said something along these lines. He said, "Oh, no, you can't have regeneration before faith. If you do, you got a sinner that's got life that doesn't believe." And I thought, well, if you put it the other way, you know, if you're going to say it that way, you could say that you've got somebody then that's a believer. They're genuinely a believer, but they're not going to have life. See, if you're going to look at it that way. Now, so therefore then to settle the whole dust that's been debated for centuries, I'm going to do it right here today, okay? Very simple. Say, who are you? Nobody. But you know, that's one good thing about being a nobody. You got nothing to prove to nobody, amen? And so on, and you know, you say, what group are you with? I'm with the King James Bible Sovereign Grace, you know, local church people, amen, whatever you call that, Baptist, amen. Maybe I like landmarkism, I like that, amen. I believe that's what the Bible teaches, amen. I'm missionary Baptist, amen. I believe the Bible teaches us to be that way. But anyhow and all, so, but I believe this, according to the Word of God, whosoever, got no problem with that, does what? Believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because God, if a person is dead in trespasses and sins, if they're dead in trespasses and sins, then what's his name? Lazarus in the grave, he was dead physically. There wasn't a way in the world that he was going to get up out of that grave. Not a way in this world unless somebody got him up. Somebody give him life. And the one that gave him life to his parents to begin with and so forth is the only one that could get him up out of that grave. See? And whenever the Lord Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, the one that commanded that enabled him to do that. It's like that man at the pool of Bethesda. The Lord come along and he said, wilt thou be made whole? And the man went this big long spiel about how he couldn't get whole because he had nobody to help him in the water. And to me, it's sort of like he's trying to get sympathy from the Lord. Would you help me get into the water? Well, the Lord didn't come to help him get in the water. Amen. Okay? See? And the Lord didn't ask him, you want me to help you get this water? He just asked him, do you want to be whole? And the Lord that commanded him to rise, take up your bed, and walk also enabled him. Amen. And I'm saying this way, that whenever God, get him in the equation, amen, when God said, peace be still, there was a great calm. And they looked around at each other and said, what kind of man is this? What manner of man is this? And I'm saying this way, that just this quick, as fast as sparks from smitten steel, amen, quicker than lightning and thunder, quicker than that. You hear light, you see lightning, then you got a delay, then you got thunder. No, sir. Just that quick, when God sovereignly himself, by his grace, mercy, and love, on the basis of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the burial of Christ, him taking our sins away, and the resurrection of Christ, on that basis, by his love, grace, and mercy, then God brings about regeneration. He brings about life. Just that quick, you've got conversion. You got repentance granted, and you got faith granted. And so we're not regenerated by faith. We're justified by faith, legally speaking. But when it comes to life, brother and sisters, the only way you're going to have life is by God. And when God brings about life, just that quick, you've got faith. Let me show you something else. I'm going to try to quit. Amen. I like it myself. How about you? Amen. But in the book of 1 John, chapter number 1, verse number 4, notice what it said there. Now, it said, for what? Do you see it? For whatsoever is born of God. Now, I'm not here to be overly critical, but I will say this. If the Bible you got in your lap in chapter 5, verse 4 says, for who? You got the wrong one. You say, well, that's what it means, Brother Al. You're just ignorant. Well, tell me something I don't know. Amen. Tell me how ignorant, okay? I checked on my IQ the other day, see how ignorant. Pretty ignorant. Amen. I asked my wife, I said, who sets the standards for putting all these little lines up here and discerning all this stuff anyway? But anyhow, and all, But if you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, and by the way, this second word is not in is not an italicized word. And by the way, I don't have any problem with them either. There's some things you can't explain about them other than God. He said, what are you saying all this for? Because I'm going somewhere, trying to get through and eat. But he said there in verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, if the word whatsoever should have been whosoever, why didn't he use the word whosoever like he did in the first verse? He could have used the word whosoever. He used the word who in verse 5. Why could, if it meant whosoever, how come he didn't use it? He said, what are you getting at? Simply this. And read it this way. And all I'm doing is, we can read them, but I'm interpreting to you. So that's your interpretation. Well, duh, amen. But for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So what is the what?
That's born of God. Faith. You see it? He didn't say who. He said, well, it means that. Well, okay, if it meant that, why didn't the writer put that? It's like a day I was reading along, and I'm doing going through the preaching verse by verse through the second epistle of Corinthians. And I think it's the third chapter, somewhere in through there. It's got a small S for the word spirit. And those old writers all say that's talking about the gospel message, the gospelizer. The new writers all say that it's talking about the Holy Ghost. Okay? So I wonder why it is it's a small S. Same thing here. Why is it it's the word what and not who? Because faith is a what and not a who. Amen. So you know what it is that's born of God? Faith. You know what it is that overcomes the world? Faith. And you know where that faith comes from? It was born of God. God wouldn't produce it. Produced by the Holy Ghost. Given to us by grace. See? So the reason a person becomes a believer. The reason a person, my friend, passed from death unto life is because of God. And the God that saves them, when he brings about new life, then he brings about a conversion. So you get the new life by God, and you get that's the cause, and the effect is going to be conversion, and the negative aspect is repentance, and the positive aspect of that is faith, and that is a gift of God, see? And when we got that, then we're going to believe this Bible, stand upon this Bible, and love this Bible, and obey this Bible. Now, we're 100% in all of that? No, sir. But thank God, you know, he sees to it, you know, he works it in us. And when we, positionally speaking, you know, we're secure, practically speaking. We can't brag a whole lot about ourselves, maybe at times, practically speaking. But the fact of the matter is, my friend, that God is the one who does the saving. And in that thing then of having faith, that is a gift of God. That is the avenue. And a person says, well, I'm just not sure. Well, probably the reason being you don't have saving faith. So you know what that causes a person to do? To cast yourself upon him. Only way you're going to get out of Arkansas to heaven is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that he gets from here to yonder are ones that he's done a work in their minds, their hearts, their wills. He's crucified that old man. He's completed us. He's regenerated us. And he's done a work inside of us. And so therefore now we live differently because we've got faith in him based upon this book. Faith in the Lord based upon the Word of God. Amen. This Bible I'm holding in my hand is the inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of the living Amen. God. Amen. And how can you say that? Faith. Amen. Faith. Where'd that faith Amen. Come from? Did I muster it up? Boy, I've been really, no, it come from God. So then we trust God. Are you trusting the Lord? You got faith in him? Is it in him? In him alone? If it is, then that's that if you're and you've been living that way and continue to live that way, that's a good sign. God's done something in you. If you're up and down, hot and cold, in and out, here and yonder, don't have any consistency. You got peace one day, for a week or two, you don't have peace about your salvation. Probably because you don't have any. Amen. I don't care. I'm preaching anyway. Amen. Probably because you don't have any. Because when God saves you, my friend, then something's going to happen to you. I didn't call the preacher the next day and say, "Reckon, preacher, we really married now." I went through the ceremony. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, we married. And when you pass from death unto life, you're going to know it.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. You're going to know it. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us now. Work in each heart. I hope again, Lord, that everybody in this room is truly saved. But if there's somebody here slow, I pray, God, you get them under conviction. Help them, Lord, and to see the truth. And Lord, even how long it takes, I pray, Lord, you'd please take away, Lord, hunger, take away sleep, and take away peace until they rest by faith in the finished work of the Lamb of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.